What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. I'm David Green, and today I'm joined by Rob Abbasolo, and we are handing our mics over to bring you a special bonus episode.
And this episode is all about how to turn a no into a yes. This is a skill that's super crucial if you're wholesaling or finding deals by directly contacting potential sellers, but this skill of getting past no and understanding the psychology behind it is really useful for any investor.
That's right, and nobody turns a no into a yes better than our friends at Deal Machine. So today you're going to hear a conversation from the Deal Machine Real Estate Investing Podcast. Dave Lecko and his co-host Ryan Haywood will crack the code on how to handle the top seller objections with a firecracker guest who's quite the negotiation ninja.
And make sure you stick around until the very end of this episode, because we'll bring you an inspirational clip from the Bigger Pockets Podcast archives and how mastering the skill of getting sellers to say yes changed one investor's career. But right now, let's turn it over to David and Ryan.
From David and Rob, here's David and Ryan.
The Deal Machine REI Podcast. Everything you need to know to get started in real estate investing.
This one's for anyone who's looking for an off-market real estate deal, but they're uneasy with any seller objections that might come their way when they're speaking to somebody about buying their house directly. This is the Deal Machine Real Estate Investing Podcast, where we help you 10x your income and acquire those off-market real estate deals. My name is David Lecko. I created a process that's helped 10,000 people close their very first real estate deal in all 50 states with a platform called Deal Machine. And my co-host is Ryan Haywood. He's done over 400 deals in St. Joseph, Missouri, right outside of Kansas City. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, man? How's it going?
In this episode, we interview Jenny Hudspeth, who's going to tell you the top 10 seller objections that you'll encounter and how to handle them. For the first objection that we're going to roll into today is you're in the seller's house and they're like, well, I actually need to talk to my husband before I make this decision, or it could be really anyone else. And I was thinking about the deals that I've done. I have to say, none of my deals have actually had two decision makers. Every single one of my deals has been a single decision maker. So Jenny, welcome to the show. I'm sure that you're actually thinking, wow, David, if you've never done a deal from somebody that had two decision makers, you're probably not doing as many deals as you should be doing. I'm leaving money on the table.
No, I mean, thank you for having me here. I definitely think that, you know, you get what you can and you do what you can with what you have. In my experience with this customer, typically kind of the response that I would go to is, you know, hey, Mrs. Johnson, usually when I get met with, I need to talk to my husband, it's people's nice way of saying no. It's almost always one of three things. It's the price, it's the process, or it's me and I did something wrong. Did I miss something?
Gotcha.
Did I do something wrong? I kind of want to stay behind the customer, obviously, and continue digging. I'm going to dig my heels in because more often than not, this is a smokescreen objection.
Mm-hmm. What if they are married, though, and they actually do need to talk to their spouse? What would you say in that case?
So in that case where, you know, I'm gonna do my initial objection talk track first and just ensure that this really is a main, you know, deal killer. This is really a really intentional conversation. I would say in my experience, Mrs. Jones, more often than not, most couples have had a conversation like this before speaking with someone like me. How do you think that this second conversation is going to be different? How will the next conversation be different? And when you talk to your husband in the past, what do those conversations even sound like? You know, when you have that conversation, what questions do you think that he's going to ask so that we can talk about those first?
Smart. So basically, you can turn the objection into them telling you how they think the conversation would go if they were present.
Absolutely. And I want to go through their past experience because it's going to bring up the emotions of those past conversations, especially between a husband and a wife. I want to know how she felt about those conversations in the past, because more often than not, it's an emotional situation. It's not usually great communication. It's not something super fun for people to go through. And I want to hear her perspective, or his perspective, on how does he think the conversation's going to go with his wife this time, and how is she going to feel about it, and what's she going to think. And I want to prepare him and get him thinking about what are the steps he's going to have to take going through this with his spouse, with her spouse.
So let's say you walk through those scenarios and then they actually all are positive and you're like, well, like, would you try to get it under contract at that point, or would you still, you know, schedule a time so they are both together?
I think I would say, listen, I get the feeling that you're 99% ready to make this decision, but there's 1% holding you back. Is the story that I'm telling myself true, or do you really think that your husband's going to say no? Mm-hmm. And if he says no, what are you going to do then? How can I support you if he says no? What support do you need if he says no? That's the better question. What support are you going to need if he says no?
Here's something I want to ask on to this as well. Like, what do they say when you say that? Like, what's a response when, if you say, hey, what, you know, what can I do better on the next conversation, or what's that going to be like? What do they typically say? What's that sound like? What's their response to that?
I mean, usually it's a little uncomfortable for them, right? They're like, well, I mean, I've had this conversation before. If they start to get uncomfortable, you probably should get excited because it is a smokescreen, right? If they're uncomfortable and not confident, we've identified this is a BS, you know, objection. And yeah. So I would just, you know, if they get uncomfortable, then I'm going to continue pressing because I'm going to address the elephant in the room. Hey, I think this is your polite way of saying no. You know, I'm going to address it. And I'm not scared because I'm confident that we have a solution that will meet their needs and that could help them take their next step. So if they get uncomfortable, I'm going to lean in. If they're confident in their responses with me, I'm going to take it as truth and I'm going to offer my support. So they're going to say they're positive and they're like, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to talk to my husband. I'll call you back. I'm going to continue walking through this process. Hey, when you call me back, what do you think that conversation's going to sound like? What can I expect when you call me back?
Do you ask when to expect a callback?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Obviously, we want to kind of set some expectations, like, because the biggest way that relationships fail are unmet expectations.
Yeah.
So, hey, when can I expect a call from you? I want to make sure that I'm available, not on an appointment. You know, it's important to me that I serve my customers at the highest level. And that I live by our core values, and this experience for you matters the most to me. So I'm just going to communicate all of those things that matter. When can I expect a call from you? What do you think that call is going to sound like? What happens if he says yes? What happens if she says yes? What happens next? So I'm always kind of getting them thinking about what that next step is and what are the steps down the funnel that they're going to have to take so that they're prepared for whatever comes their way.
You're listening to a special episode of the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast from our friends at Deal Machine. You've already heard so many useful tips from Jenny, and there's a lot more on the way right after the break. Spring is here, and you know what that means. Fresh flowers, fresh air, fresh starts. So why not take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security? SimpliSafe protects my home during the busy spring season when I'm out leveling up my portfolio. But you know why I really love SimpliSafe? Because it's very easy to install. As a matter of fact, I set up my entire system, my personal home, which is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, in less than 30 minutes. They've got a super simple app, as whenever we're on vacation, we have friends come by the house to water the plants, check on the house, whatever it is, we're able to turn off our alarm right before our friends get to the house and turn it on right after they leave instantly. SimpliSafe offers a wide variety of high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods. They've got indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch day and night, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day, and I challenge you to figure out what you can buy for less than $1 a day. And with the 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and we want you to have it too. So, go get 20% off of your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. That's simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, Rent Ready, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a breeze.
In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability. With Plaid certified tenant income and assets reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. All tenant screening and verification is paid by the tenant and done through the desktop and mobile app. It's time to say goodbye to gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. And as a matter of fact, all BiggerPockets pros have Rent Ready included in your pro membership. If you're not a pro, Rent Ready is offering you 50% off of their annual plan. New customers visit rentready.com and use code BP2024. That's RENTREDI.com using code BP2024. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, in the year 2024 to save 50% off of 1 year of Rent Ready. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder, Dave Van Horn, wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's pick up where we left off on this bonus episode from Deal Machine's Real Estate Investing Podcast.
I think that the next one that I want to ask about ties in very good with this first objection, because to me, it's similar and we get it all the time, weekly. I get this exact same response. It's the, I need to think about it, or let me get back to you. Typically, when that happens to me, I kind of feel exactly like you explained, that is a smokescreen. And I typically try to press a little bit harder. I'm like, well, what part of that do you need to think about? What is the hiccup? And so what is your coach on what to say when they're like, yeah, let me think about it. I'll call you back.
You see my smile. I know you do. My face just lit up. I love this objection. I have quite a bit of different talk tracks for it. I think the one most known objection that's kind of out there is, hey, when you say you need to think about it, what does that mean? Right? Getting clarity on their language, because I don't want to just assume what that means. I want to get clarity. So the first one, hey, when you say that, what does that mean? And then one of my personal favorites is, hey, you know, I had a mentor tell me more time doesn't always equal a better decision. Usually more information does. What haven't we talked about? What questions have you not asked that you need to ask? What haven't we talked about? I love that talk track. That one's one of my favorite. And then also I'm going to continue going. Hey, usually when I get met with, I need to think about it, is people's polite way of saying no. I kind of like, listen, I get it. It's not every day that you sell a house. This is a big decision for most people. Ultimately, Mrs. Jones, you know, what's the it, parentheses, what's the it that's holding you up? I got two more. I totally understand that you need to think about it. My job is to give you all the information that you need to figure out what you need to do next. It sounds like I failed to do that at this point. Can you let me know what I missed? Right? I must have missed something.
I also think that triggers like some sort of sympathy. Like they don't want you to feel bad. Like, yeah. No, you did fine. And then they may even get to a point where they start talking about real details. No, really, I got to talk to my grandson about it because blah, blah, blah. You know, then they start getting to more details, basically defending, no, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just that I have this piece to deal with, and that piece they hadn't informed you of. So by giving them that, hey, is there something that I missed or that I didn't give you? That just triggers like a, in some cases, it's not always, but in some cases it triggers like a sensitivity. They're like, oh, no, it's not you. I just need to get this piece done as well. And it may give you another opportunity to uncheck or check a box that was not checked before that point.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to identify usually when in the process this happens. We've been with this customer face-to-face, belly-to-belly for 45 minutes to an hour at this point. So I may say something like, hey, you know, we've been talking for 45 minutes or for an hour and 15 minutes at this point. Like, I would not rest tonight knowing that I didn't serve you to the highest level and walk away knowing there's something that you didn't ask me or there's something that you didn't tell me that could allow me to support you better. So what is it that's not being said? You know, I can kind of tie to their opportunity cost and their investment and the conversation. We have together invested mutually an hour and 15 minutes of talking through the painstaking elements of your process. I wouldn't feel right leaving knowing that there is something here that was not said. Like, I'm not doing my job if I leave you.
Mm-hmm. I like that because it doesn't put pressure on them to make the decision, but it still does uncover something that they are not telling you. So that's really, really smart. The third seller objection that we wanted to cover today is, I'm not ready to sell, but I want to hear your offer. And the place I heard this first was on the third deal that I'm doing. It was two doors down from a house of my second deal where I was renovating it. I noticed a tree had fallen on the house two doors down. And so I actually skipped Trace to get the owner's phone number, and she had moved 2 hours away, it turned out, to go help her daughter who'd had a baby and gone through a divorce. And she was not ready to sell. In fact, she had no idea this tree fell on her house. She had her hands full tending to her daughter. So she actually did want to know what I could offer her to just walk away from the house. But she told me, she's like, I'm not mentally prepared to sell. I actually gave her an offer, and she went silent for a whole week. And ultimately, I followed up about every day or every other day, and nothing was too pushy. You know, one day I probably said the eyeballs emoji, basically like, yo, did you see the last text? Or, you know, something like, you know, I'm here, can cash you out within 2 weeks. You know, all I just need to hear from you is that you'd like to move forward, things like that. And she ended up accepting my offer. So I'm really glad that I went all the way through and gave her an offer, even though she wasn't ready to sell. I'm curious, Jenny, how do you handle those situations? This might also be like a tire kicker type situation where I knew the tree with her was kind of an issue, but sometimes people respond and they say this and they don't have a tree falling on their house and they're just kind of like a tire kicker. They want to know what the value of their house is without actually wanting to sell it.
So I'm going to go back to, you know, hey, I'm not ready to sell. I want to hear your offer. Back to, hey, when you say that, what do you mean? Right? Tell me more. Right? Those are always two really great, just open-ended, expository answer questions. What do you mean? Tell me more. Usually when I get this customer, I'm not ready to sell. Hey, listen, usually when I get met with, I'm not ready, it's really one of three things. It's the price, it's the process, or me. It's me. That's one of my favorite go-to responses because now we're going through and sifting through, you know, is it me? Like, no, it's not you. Then it must be the process. No, it's not the process. So then it's the price, you know, and so we can kind of get that response out of the way. For the tire kicker, I would say, hey, you know, can I be 100% open with you? I don't like saying honest. This is just a nugget. Like, we don't say honestly in conversation because it makes it sound like we're dishonest.
Honest, another kid. Yeah, right. Exactly. I totally agree.
So we don't use the words like if I'm honest or honestly. Those are not. So I say, can I be 100% open with you? Like unguarded, unbridled. Can I be 100% open with you? You know, hey, I'd really love to give you an offer today, but if you aren't willing or ready to accept it, it wouldn't do anyone any good. This offer is only valid for 48 hours. Let me ask you this. Once you have an offer, what's your next step even going to be?
Totally. And bring us home with that fourth objection.
I get this a lot too, or our team gets this a lot when we are doing the follow-ups. It's, I can't talk right now.
Okay. So this one, I think, like you said, is usually over the phone. Your lead, if you have somebody who's calling and setting appointments for you, you'll get this on the front end side as well as in the follow-up on the back end. I like the talk track, like, oh, shoot. Hey, listen, usually that's people's nice way of saying no. Let me ask you, do you actually want me to call you back and talk through your options for selling? Or are you just politely trying to tell me no, literally never call me back again because I don't want to answer the phone?
Right.
I try to have some fun with this over the phone and show my personality. I'm a goober, so I'm gonna try to make them laugh. They want to hear a real human on the other end of the phone, so I'm going to change the inflections in my voice, and I'm going to say, are you trying to tell me literally never call me back again because I don't want to answer? Like, I'm going to lean in there just a little bit. I like on the, again, that was really more for the lead side on the front end. Again, on the front end, hey, listen, 99% of the time, that's what most people say, and I totally understand. I'm calling you at a random time during your workday, and you don't know me from Adam. But listen, like, have you been exploring a cash offer or am I barking up the wrong tree? Mm-hmm. Like, a talk track like that would honestly engage a seller because it doesn't sound call center-y. It doesn't sound salesy. I sound like a normal human. And that's one of the most important things that we can do on.
Right. It's sounding like a human, not necessarily reading a script. I love that.
Yeah, so I always, and again, I'm from the South, so saying something like, I know you don't know me from Adam.
Ryan, sorry to cut you off. We've got about 10 minutes in our slot, so I wanted to make sure we got to the last five objections. This other one, and please continue to finish that off. The fifth one is, can you call me back? I'm just curious, because it seems similar to this one. I can't talk right now.
Yeah, so I've got a few more. So on the last one, I can't talk right now, or can you call me back? Hey, you're probably in the middle of something. I made an assumption that you were free to talk. I apologize. Can you help me out real quick before you go? Do you actually want me to call back and talk through your options, or am I bothering you? Mm-hmm. Like, getting to something like that, I love that. When they say, can you call me back? Sure thing. But listen, it's just like, we've called you a few times at this point, and the story I'm telling myself is that I'm actually really bothering you, and you don't want to tell me the truth. Are you actually trying to sell your house, or am I bothering you? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to change my tone, and I'm going to lean in. I'm going to tell them what I know to be true. I like to use the actual number of calls. Hey, we've called you 47 times. You know, the story I'm telling myself is I am bothering the mess out of you. And you just don't want to tell me that's true.
What about
read number six?
What about when they go and say, well, before I do it, I need to do this, this, and this before I can accept an offer or sell it?
So, hey, I kind of like asking the question, hey, what do you expect will happen, if you did those things before selling? Like, what are your expectations once you do those things? What are you expecting will happen? I like the talk.
And they say, I'll get a better offer if I do it. 'Cause this happens. I get this one often. They're like, well, I'd get more money if I do this.
So most people in your shoes consider three main things, not just money: time, energy, and money.
Yeah.
Have you thought through how much time it's going to take to pursue that? Have you thought about how much energy you're going to have to expend doing that? And lastly, how much money do you think it's going to take? And then I would say something along the lines of, by investing that amount of time, that amount of energy, and that amount of money, what do you think you're going to get in return? Is it worth it? Does what you are expecting outweigh how much you're going to have to personally invest in this? And then I would say, hey, what happens if it doesn't? What are you going to do if you go through all of this and the return doesn't outweigh your investment? What are you going to do? And then, yeah, I think that's a pretty good, I love the time, energy, money talk track. That's one of my favorites, because people tend to only, like, especially even acquisition managers, this is a really important note for you guys going out and locking up deals, going face-to-face with a seller. It's not just about the money. Like, it is time that they have to invest, time away from family, time invested in this situation. It is energy expenditure. It's not just active fixing the property energy. It's the mental turmoil as well. Like, I can't, you know, most things mentally are draining. So it's time, energy, and money. We want to make sure we're not just focusing on an offer, that we're really focusing on solving there's situations and circumstances.
All right, we have to take one more quick break, but stick around for more from Jenny Hudspeth and Deal Machine on this special takeover episode.
Calling all property owners and operators. Are you managing a multifamily property and looking to elevate your residents' living experience? Introducing Quantum Fiber Internet, your go-to choice for speedy internet your residents will love. The process is as seamless as Quantum Fiber service. Starting at just $50 a month, your residents can enjoy fast, reliable internet that will make them love where they live even more. Connect with your local fiber representative today. Learn more at q.com/gobig. I wonder how they got that domain. That's q.com/gobig. Limited availability. Service and rate in select locations only. Taxes and fees apply. 360 Wi-Fi and other equipment lease charges, taxes, and fees are excluded from price for life offer and may be increased. As home prices and interest rates continue to rise and inventory levels dip, it's getting harder to find quality flips and wholesale deals. When there's not enough on-market inventory to go around, it's time to start looking off-market. Lucky for you, there are millions of homeowners nationwide who own a property they need to get off their hands. I got two words for you, my friend. PropStream it. PropStream is the leading real estate data provider and recognized as a Tech 100 honoree by Housing Wire for the fourth consecutive year. With PropStream, you can search over 155 million properties nationwide using 120-plus search filters like pre-foreclosure, bankruptcy, pre-probate, failed listings, and more to help you find motivated sellers in seconds. PropStream offers both public record data and an MLS sales estimate that's over 99% accurate to help you get the most accurate comps even in non-disclosure states. PropStream also provides lead automation, skip tracing, and a marketing suite with emails, postcards, and custom landing pages to close more deals efficiently. Get started today with their 7-day free trial and get 50 leads for free. Head on over to www.propstream.com/BP. That's www.propstream.com/BP. Take a second and imagine this: immediate cash flow, above average rent, built-in equity, and a foolproof exit plan. No, it's not 2012 again. This is just what it's like to invest with Integra Development Group. They've simplified the real estate investing process so everyone can invest. With their new construction single-family rent-to-own homes, you'll get aggressively priced, brand new properties that have tenants in place now in one of the fastest-growing states in America, Florida. Here's how IDG's rent-to-own strategy works. You get exclusive access to inventory with aggressive pricing thanks to IDG's builder partner relationships. Then, invest and collect immediate cash flow with tenants already in place at or very close to closing. With the demand for new builds, your tenants pay above market rent, so you rake in more cash flow. And you'll get built-in equity and appreciation with an already agreed-to purchase price at year 3, helping the tenants become homeowners while you build wealth. That's investing simplified. So secure your next investment property today with Integra Development Group at IntegraDG.com. That's IntegraDG.com to start investing today. This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's pick up where we left off on this bonus episode from Deal Machine's Real Estate Investing Podcast.
Right. So if they're too focused on the money, for example, if they say my house is worth more, I can see this estimate is $50,000 higher than what you're offering. Ryan, like, have you ever encountered that before?
That's also one of those. It's often, it's a few times a month, we'll go out, look at the property. We, in our our evaluation process, we've already determined what we're going to spend on the rehab and figuring out the ARV. So to me, it's always like when they're like, well, I looked it up on Zillow and it says this.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
So this one, I usually when you get met with this, it's because we haven't addressed it earlier in our process, which is a misstep. So if you get met with this on the back end in your offer presentation and negotiation, it's because you were out of process earlier. So I would be really mindful when you're out and you're going to this property at the beginning of your process to make sure that you say something along the lines of, Hey, listen, I was looking online and I noticed there were properties that ranged from $50,000 to $160,000 in the neighborhood. Where would you put your house on that scale? And so they are, so now you see, and I go to Zillow and I just pull the lowest number and the highest number in that square radius that it shows. And I'm going to tell them, hey, I was looking online. This is what I saw. What do you think about it? And then I keep moving forward in my conversation. What was the neighborhood like when you first moved in? So I kind of drop that anchor of Zillow early. But if you get it on the back end, hey, you're probably right. Usually we're not first people's option. It sounds like the most important thing for you is getting the retail value, no matter how much time and energy and money that you have to invest in this. So let's talk through that. Let's talk through what that would look like. If a realtor came out here, what do you think they would say?
Right. I always love to say, I'm not your highest and best offer, but if you want a quick offer and one that you can count on, I'm your guy. So I always like say that at the beginning, because I don't have patience to deal with people who are going to be like tire kickers. And it's really, it feels good to be transparent and honest in a world where so many people are getting into wholesaling. They're wondering, like, should I tell them like that I'm not going to be the highest offer? And it just kind of relieves that stress.
Yeah.
You might be feeling just to wrap things up. We've got just a couple of minutes. So I'm curious, like, Ryan, could you read the next one real quick? Just to make sure we get through all 10.
Yeah. This could happen, and I'm not interested. When you ask them if they'd be interested in selling or you make your offer, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I actually received a call from somebody, Frank, and he's like, hey, remove me from your list. And I say, hey, no problem. What's your address? And he says, you should have it. You mailed me.
You called me.
Yeah, exactly. So it took a while to get him to realize that I do mail a lot of people, and just by his phone number, I don't know who he is. And it ended up coming out that he's getting so much mail because he's going through a divorce and everyone's trying to take advantage of him. And I asked later, after I kind of acknowledged that might be really frustrating, and I said, well, do you think at some point in your divorce process that you will need to sell your house? And he said, yes. And so that was like an amazing, I'm not interested turnaround, that he was so mad that he finally was able to like, yeah, I probably will need to sell it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a really great talk track right there. Like, you're probably getting called 97 million times and you don't know me at all. I figured you'd say something like this, you know, kind of going down that talk track of you're probably experiencing a lot of this. And I can imagine that's overwhelming. I'm not trying to be a thorn in your side. I'm a local investor who buys property in your area. Have you even considered selling this property? Or is that something that you'd want to talk about at all? I'm here to support you. I like that talk track. If they say I'm not interested, sometimes I play dumb, which, you know, I think maybe as a female, it's a little bit easier than necessarily as a male. But like, are you telling me that the information I have is wrong? Oh no, this happens sometimes. The most people I call are exploring a cash offer or at least considering their options to sell, and I'm going to be quiet. Mm-hmm. So that's like, hey, most people that I'm calling, they're exploring this. How do you think you wound up in front of my computer? And they're like, I don't know. You know, sometimes they may lean in, sometimes they may not.
30-second fire round. Here's number 9. I've got an offer and somebody's coming behind you to give me another offer.
So this one is a tough one. And this one is one of the most frequent ones that we're getting, especially in these hyper-competitive markets. So I would say, hey, listen, I get it. Most people are willing to search for the highest offer. Most people are willing to search for the highest offer. That language is key. I think we want to attack, just like the price, the Zillow, we want to attack this earlier versus later. So when we're setting expectations with this customer, if we're in a hyper-competitive market, this is what I would do to set expectations. Hey, before we get started, is it okay if I tell you a little bit about what's going to happen and what my experience is in buying these houses? And they're going to be like, yeah, sure. Usually when I get started, most people ask me two questions. What's your process and what's your offer? I definitely will answer those questions for you, but also hope to answer a few more. And I would say, like, what kind of company do I work for? What is my company value? What's most important to me in this process is that I represent our company at a high level, I uphold our core values, and that this experience for you meets all of your hopes and expectations. Is it okay if I share some of those things with you also today as we walk through this process? So prompting it on the front end, guys, most people in this situation go to, hey, listen, I understand you're fielding offers. If you could just give me a call once that person gives you an offer, I'll match it or beat it. And honestly, you just affirmed in their mind that you are the sneaky, sleazy salesman that they thought you were, that you're the grandma house dealer that they perceived. Because you said you're going to give them your fairest offer, and then at the end, you're like, hey, call me back and I'll beat it. We just affirmed that we are not trustworthy. We are not transparent. We are not genuine. I want to tell them, listen, I'm not in the business of doing the nickel and dime song and dance. I'm not here to penny you to death. I'm here to support you as you take this journey and you figure out what your next steps are going to be. I lean more into the experience than I do the offer. Every single time, you are going to catch so many more flies than that way with honey than vinegar. Yep. So we want to care more about the person and their experience than we do about the end result, the offer.
Okay, last one.
Definitely. We're not out of time, but I bet I can talk Jenny into doing a 60-second video for Instagram at DLECO. We can collaborate on it for this 10th one. So go check that out there. Jenny, thank you so much for showing us the way that you're navigating these sales conversations in an organization that's doing 1,000+ deals. Jenny, where can people find you other than on our Instagram collaboration post?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys can find me at reisalestools.com, or you can email me at Jenny, J-E-N-N-I-E, at reisalestools.com.
Thank you, Jenny.
All right, thank you all for listening. That was the Deal Machine Real Estate Investing Podcast, and we want to thank Jenny, David, and Ryan for teaching us these priceless techniques to gracefully get sellers to say yes.
You know, this conversation reminded me of a guest we had on the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast a few months ago on episode 883 specifically with Terica Lynn Smith, and she's now a successful investor in Louisiana and even teams up with builders to develop more affordable housing in Louisiana. But Terica told us that none of this would be possible without one key turning point in her real estate career, and that turning point was listening to a CD that taught Terica how to respond to every possible seller objection.
As soon as I get in the car, I get out the car. You know, if I'm in the shower, I have the cassette playing in the bathroom. Like, I'm constantly doing it, and I'm constantly role playing. So now when I get on the phone, I need enough tenacity to be able to get prepared for these no's I'm about to get. Because I already know Ms. Jones is about to tell me no. I already know I'm about to get like 10 of them no's, right? So I got to prepare myself to be able to get to the yes with all of those no's. And for me, once I had that mindset, I was like, yo, that's really cool.
Thanks, Rob. And it really is a great discussion. Again, that's episode 883. For Rob Abasolo, I'm David Green, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast.
The market is changing, and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.